David D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you. Still paying tribute to Nikki Giovanni, somebody who touched a lot of people. And I wanted to talk to somebody local. Our own poet laureate out of San Francisco is Devorah Majors. And, like the other people we've spoken to, she can hold court her own damn self. She's iconic. She's somebody who has accomplished a lot. And you have a huge biography as well. Your book of poetry, Khalifa's Daughters, which was released in 2020. I want to give you your flowers. First international title. Wait, I'm messing up here. Your first novel was An Open Weave, was awarded the first novelist award by the Black Caucus of American Library Association. And you also have Brown Glass Windows, which was put up to critical acclaim. And we can go on and on, but you've been doing this, been a part of Daughters of the Yam, a poetry performance group with Opal Palmer and Idisa. So first thing I want to ask you on this day, how often did you come across Nikki Giovanni? What does she mean to you?
Well, when Nikki Giovanni started hitting nationally, becoming a national poet, I was actually a dancer at the time and in theater.
Oh, you
And
talk about late
I wrote
60s?
poetry on the side. And she, the last poets, her and Sonia Sanchez were the reasons I was started writing poetry. In terms of the poetry of my age, I had read Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, but the ones that lit a fire under me, and at that time I had read some Leroy Jones too, but he wasn't Baraka yet. And so it wasn't the same kind of.
What year are we talking? Like in late
Talking
60s?
about the 70s, early 70s.
Early 70s.
Early 70s, So I started writing poems because that's what we did then, that if you were into it, it's like that. And I was in theater, so I was performing them, it's like black, 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 black kind of stuff. And people started calling me a poet. And it really was because of the inspiration I got from these other poets and the permission I got to write my heart in my way, because I think that that's what Nikki Giovanni did. She wrote her heart, her soul, her in her way, not in somebody else's way.
Was there a particular poem that you heard from her that really hit you and said, "You know what? I can put this pen down. I could do it too now. Let's go."
I don't know that I could do it too, but I will tell you, I loved, loved, loved Ego Tripping.
Everybody does. We were just talking about that. Ego Tripping is one of these poems that I think means a lot to different people. For people coming into hip hop, that's like, oh, okay, yeah, them and the Last Poets, but that's one of them things. And then people have referenced it and redone it. And then I guess for other people like yourself, it was like, what resonated with you from that poem that made you be like,
Well,
Her
I think,
cadence was the thing that caught us.
well, absolutely. Well, the cadence was what to me got me to listen to the words. And I was growing up in a time, which I guess now, because we're going backwards in some things, when white kids would say, well, Africa doesn't have any history. I really didn't have a lot of rebut other than Egypt. I just didn't know. I would, you know. I just didn't know. Then I went to college. I took some Black Studies classes, and I was like, "Oh, And Nikki Giovanni knew that, and she put it in Ego Tripping. And it was to me, it was like, "Oh no, I have this rich history. It didn't start with slavery, because African in the diaspora, they always well, and in this one, in the islands, the West Indies, which is where my folks come from. And in America, we're always dated from enslavement.
Right.
We're not dated from the thousands of years before. And to me, Nikki Giovanni was like, no, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm this Africa. I'm a daughter of Africa, and this is what I am. And it was like, wow, okay, now I have some answers.
Right.
You
And
know.
so did you, was your first poem kind of did it kind of sound similar? Did you try to sound
I have
similar?
no idea. I have no idea. The poems I do remember being in college and taking a poetry writing class from Dr. Ray Richardson.
Another iconic figure.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I was taking it from a poet named Stan Rice, who's actually Anne Rice, the vampire writer's husband. And so I was rehearsing for dance shows and living my life and working my way through college. I took two courses where I could turn in the same work.
Right.
Okay. And so when I would share a poem, I had this poem about Black hand rising through the earth, I remember, and its power. And they were like, oh, that could be any color hand. And, you know, and I got totally criticized in the white class. And when I read it in the Black studies class, people applauded.
Wow.
And so I think it was more that rather than a poem, it was more that thing, like I said, of this striking out. I don't care what you guys say.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this in that way. And that's one of the poems I remember from that. And I wrote a poem on what Black is. And I think those things were very much informed by Nikki Giovanni. Not that they were, I never tried to be like another poet. Rather, I tried to be like them in finding me.
Right.
You know, so I'm not, I never was imitative, you know, but rather like that. So I can't think of one poem, but I know that idea of, oh, this is what you say Black is. Well, this is what I say Black is. You know, it was more like that.
It's kind of like there's a circle and everybody's dancing. So you can't do the same day. I can't get in the circle and do what Devorah Majors just did, but I'm sure as hell going to dance. And
Yes.
we all got to be on beat. You know, and
Yes.
it's gotta be fresh and funky. So it's that, but I can't do your step.
It's it.
Otherwise, people are gonna be like, how you gonna do Devorah's step?
exactly. You
Right.
know, and if everybody's going around, they're expecting you're going to do some little twist that is yours. So
Right.
it's got to be yours. And it is like that, you know.
Let me ask you this. We were just talking before you came, before we started, you know, the interview. In looking at the Black Arts Movement, Nikki, of course, is a pillar in that. Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni, Carolyn Rogers, so many folks. One, were you connected to the Black Arts Movement? How do you remember it? I know you talked about some of the folks being influences, but you know, that's a period of time that you don't find that. You look up Harlem Renaissance, it's 50,000 articles. Black Arts Movement, they said it was a threat.
Yeah,
You know, the folks coming out of it were intentional, like your words were weapons.
yeah, I think that was, I was the, I guess, a younger sister of it. So I was just enough, like the Aquarius Press in the last couple of years has put in Black Fire This Time, Volume One and Volume Two. And they include some of the Black Fire poets, which was the first really big anthology of essays, poems,
Right.
looking at the Black Arts Movement. And so I was just so inspired by it. I guess is the best way to say. I lived in San Francisco in the Haight, and my father worked at State. He was the head of EOP. And so, and Sonia Sanchez came by our house. I
Right.
mean, she just came by the
Sonia
house.
taught at SF State.
She's living around the corner, you know?
Yeah.
And so she brought my dad, what is it, Home Girls and Hand Grenades, you know, the chapbook. And I just saw it on the dining room table and I look at it, wow, what's that? And it's like, oh. Oh, this was, so for me, I feel like the Black Arts Movement really opened me up because I was just old enough to really appreciate it. I was a young adult and a little bit younger than most of the people in it. Not a whole lot, just like I said, the younger sister to be really appreciative and do that. I mean, I met Baraka right before Blackfire came out with Reginald Lockett, who was in Blackfire, but they weren't even looking at me as a poet,
Right.
Reginald
Well,
Lockett,
it's
Oakland-based
interesting
poet.
because I think, those folks are like in their 20s. Maybe somebody's hitting a 30, if you're going back in years. So in that time, 4 or 5 years is a big difference.
That's right.
Like I think about coming up in hip hop, now everybody's a contemporary, all the pioneers, I see them and, they're like my contemporaries. But when you're 12 and they're 17 or 18, it's a big difference. Like, what are you doing? I'm on the mic. Yeah, okay. Now we can all sit down and talk. And so I get it. It's a it's
I was my I don't know what's Sonia, what is Sonia now, 88,
something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
almost
So yeah,
90.
more
Yeah.
like 12, 13, 14 years of the people I was meeting and more, but still, it's still in that realm of really, because I was I was at state going to college when I was 17,
Okay,
just turned.
okay. Was she
So I
teaching there? Was Sonia teaching there? Was Sonia teaching at that time?
Sonia was n not teaching yet because it was right at the end of the strike, and she came
Okay.
right after that.
After.
And then I, because I was so young, I started when I was 16 because my father was like, "You are not going to be out of high school at 16 and on the streets."
Right.
Since he was at state, it was like, "Okay, here, go here." It just,
Right.
and but and then I left college for a year because I needed to stop doing that and traveled the world. I was.
Right. So let me ask you, Devorah Majors, poet laureate of San Francisco, who we're speaking to right now, looking back at Nikki Giovanni and talking a little bit about the times that, that she was really starting to kick in doors. Have you met her? What's
I
your.
have not met Nikki Giovanni. It's funny. I've read with Sonia. I went to a lecture Sonia gave, which was hilarious. She was
Right.
asking all us young women, had we given up on love? How many? And a lot of women raised their hands. And she said,
Right.
"What are you guys, 21, 22? What's wrong with you?" So I
Right.
know her, but Nikki Giovanni, I know solely from her work, her recordings,
Right.
seeing some of her readings taped. But I have not actually crossed paths with her.
I hear you on that. I went back to what inspired you on the first poems. You talked about ego tripping, moving up, obviously as a poet. She's making noise all the way. I mean, as recently as last week, people said she was doing stuff. As she evolved, what stood out for you with regards to her, and was it still that influence of seeing her trajectory?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, she stayed conscious, of many things. And so she would be
Right.
called on to do speeches and, to do that. So there was a consciousness. But I do not feel that her poetry stayed quite as radical and cutting edge, that I think she did her most revolutionary and dynamic poetry in the 70s and 80s. And she wrote on to the up till now, I mean into the 2000s. But I her work became far gentler and self-reflective, a lot of it, and a lot of it on her. And certainly she had struggles. I mean, her struggles with cancer that finally took her
Right.
down. And so that does one make one, yeah, then you're going to write about that struggle. But it wasn't as much a poet of the people for the people, because I think in the 70s and 80s, she was the people's poet. That's who
Right.
she was. And so as she evolved, and she wrote children's books and essays.
Right.
She really was a writer, not just a poet. But I don't think she held on to as much of the revolutionary fervor
Right.
as she had before.
Do you think it would have been received in the same way if she had? Because, you know, times change
Sanchez
too.
has.
That's
Yes.
true. That's
Yeah, I
true.
absolutely do. Baraka has, you know. I mean, I think you stay on the road or you don't, you know. You take
Right, right.
an offshoot of the road, and I think that was her choice. And I don't, it's that's not a criticism, that's just an observation, you know.
You know, she did a lot of other things. And one of the things that I remember is seeing her interview all kind of folks, you know, Muhammad Ali, James Baldwin. You see these interviews online, so I didn't see them at the time. But, you know,
Right.
over the years, you're like, oh, wow, Muhammad Ali, it's Nikki Giovanni. So if people didn't know she was a poet, you might think that she was a talk show host. Did you see her in these other incarnations where she was doing these
I have
other
seen
things?
her interviewed and interviewing.
Yes.
And yeah, and that's what I mean. There's a level of consciousness and a level of awareness, no matter what she was doing, that she kept.
Right,
I
right.
think that that's one of the things that's very valuable about her, because a lot of people think, well, if I do this, this is all I can do. This is what I
Right.
do. And insofar as speaking is still language, she certainly stayed in the nation of the word.
Right.
But she was totally flexible within that nation of the word with what she did, which I think is a great example, you know. To be multi-genre, to be able to, I mean, she made speeches. She was funny. I have a friend who says, he says her last year, she was a stand-up comedian. She was so funny.
Right. Real
You know?
talk. You know, it's the thing that, and I was saying this earlier, what I liked about her, she always brought her A game to the table. And I feel like there was a sense of like you had to bring your A game too. You couldn't half step with Nikki Giovanni. It wasn't showing up and just like, well, I'm here, let me just do any old thing. And I don't know if that's a thing of the Black Arts Movement, because I feel that way when I've been around Sonia Sanchez. Sonia Sanchez, you know, you button up and be like, and they'll be like, you don't have to do all that, but at the same time, you have to do all that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I
You
think that
have to do
that's.
all that. And it's, you know, there's like a reverence. It's like they're here, let me, you know,
Yeah.
and you better have read those books. You know, don't be opening your mouth and, you know, just giving like some flim-flam, you know, opinion ain't gonna fly. You know, they'll be, brother,
Absolutely.
where'd you get that from?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's really important. I think that she did inspire that. And I certainly know that. I
Yeah.
always tell people now, young poets, when they're reading, I'm like, look, if you have a reading, you have to dress. Your audience can come in pajamas, but you have to honor them. And that
Right.
kind of thing, that's part of the A game, is that, you know, how you present. And I certainly do think she very much modeled that. There were other poets that did, but she did model that.
Right. Did that rub off on you? Do you bring your A game all the time? Of course you do,
It's
but I mean,
always my intention. You
but is it
know,
in the
I mean,
back of
you
your
know, some
head?
days chicken, some day feathers, that's as
Right.
the girl says. So you but that is always the intention, is to, you know, and you know, if there are a couple of hundred people, if there's two people, it's the same. Thank you for being here. Here's what I have to offer.
When I'm saying A game in this regard as a poet, and so let me ask you this. If you're younger, you have those folks that are a little bit older, but they're the ones blazing the trail. So you want to make sure you're there, because you don't want to disappoint the Sonyas and the Nickys and whoever. When did that kind of change and just become embedded in you, so that you know, like, nah, I'm here because now this is just a part of the routine, if that's making sense. You know what I mean?
I don't know that it changes, because to me, you know, it's like you're climbing a mountain, but you know, it just keeps getting steeper.
Okay.
It just keeps getting steeper. So I think that the ethic of you have to do the work, there really
Okay.
aren't any shortcuts.
Right.
And I don't think that's ever left me. And that came, you know, out of my home, out of my parents and grandparents, out of my godfather. It was, you know, that's, you know, out of all of them, it was, this is the way you must present.
Right.
And so
I
I
guess.
can't say that I really made a shift to the other side because it's just a steeper climb,
So
man.
do you see those iconic figures in the back of your head, like I always want to bring Maya again because I always see my mom in the audience. You see what I'm saying? So it's like that never leaves. It's like, yeah, my mom's w wouldn't be doing that. So the Nikki Giovanni or Sonia Sanchez kind of in the audience. So you're spitting your poems, you're writing, you're like, yeah, if they ever read this, it's got to be, I don't want to have them be like, I had to make this phone call to you, Miss Majors.
Yeah, I
What
actually
did you mean by this?
I've been honored to read with Sonia Sanchez more than once, and so that's been
Right.
really great. But I have to say that, yeah, the people that I represent that I want to always shine for and do my best and let them feel honored, are family, friends, and young people that I've worked with over the years.
Right.
The elders, yeah. If I mean, I mean, when I knew I was going to read with Sonya, did I sweat? And is this the right poem? And is that absolutely,
Right.
absolutely. But if I'm in another situation where it's a performance and nobody else is there necessarily that I know, that I really know. I mean, there may be people I know, but or absolutely nobody, particularly if I'm out of the country,
Right.
who I am trying to be my tallest, my best, my brightest for are people in my life. And then, like I said, people that I've taught, people that I've reached out to that I've told you this is what you should be. So I have to be
Right.
this. This is
Real
what you should
talk.
aspire for. I'm still aspiring. I'm still working for this. It's to me, that's what fuels
Yeah,
me.
like you said, the mountain gets steeper.
Yeah.
If as we wrap up and looking back at Nikki Giovanni, somebody who is new to this, they're hearing this conversation for the first time. Give me two or three things that you tell them. You want them to pay close attention to if they start looking her up and going, let me find out who this sister is, Nikki Giovanni, what she's about. What do you want them to pay close attention to and really, dig deep in or really embrace?
Well, I really want them to read some of her poems, read Nikki Rosa, read Ego Tripping, understand where she was coming from. And I want them to embrace that sense of speaking your own truth. I mean, I know that has become somewhat of a cliche, but I think it's really important. She did do that.
But
And
what
it
does that
may have
mean? Is there
changed its shape, but,
a limitation to that? Is there a responsibility around it? How would you define speaking truth? Because I think people just be like, I'm gonna say any old thing. I don't like the shoes you're wearing. I'm speaking my truth. But I think there was a certain
Oh,
essence
absolutely.
to when they were speaking their truth. There was something else about it. It wasn't like they just said things just for the sake of.
Right. And I didn't say the truth.
Okay.
I said your own truth. And there's a
Okay.
little, I mean it a little bit differently because those things that you need to say, those things that are important to say, you don't need to talk about somebody's whack shoes if they are whack. Because that
Right.
might be all they can afford. And they may love them, even though you think they're whack. So,
Right.
no, you don't need to go there. You may want to go
Okay.
there, but that just shows you kind of evil. You don't need to
Right.
do that. But rather, the things about really looking. And I think maybe that's, to look and see what you see and speak the truth of what you see. And some people's vision is sharper and more keen, and some people it's not as much. But if you're really looking, you'll see. And I feel like that is something that Nikki Giovanni did. So when I say speak your own truth, I mean out of this sincere looking to see what it is.
Right. Now she has about 16 books, and you did say read. Is there one book that stood out for you?
Probably, what is it? Cotton Candy and Mirrors. I like her early books. I mean,
Okay.
I like her early books. Those are the ones that really moved me the most, maybe because they did put me on the path I'm on now.
Right. Well,
And,
that's okay. We got all this is timeless.
and I
They
love
are
Fire.
they're Fine. Okay, because they're erasing history. So if you're able to go back and refer to these things, then by all means, go for it. They might have to go back to the 70s and look that up, because God knows
Actually,
that.
her book's in the 70s and 80s because she's so fiery, and I just really yet admire that because you can get burnt with fire, so there's a certain courage to speak it out.
Yeah. Last thing that you would tell people to observe.
She lived a life. She lived a full life. She wrote, she interviewed, she made speeches. She had a son. She has what, one grandchild maybe? One anyway, she was married. She at some point I guess I don't realized her sexual orientation and changed and was very clear, no, this is who I am. And I think there's something to that. I think a lot of times people don't live their lives as vibrantly.
And
And she lived a life.
that's also speaking your truth as well. You know, to be able to come to the realization, this is who I am. You know, as we close out, how can people follow your work, DeVore Majors?
Well, I'm no S, Devorah Major.
Oh, did I say major? Sorry, major. There you go.
Yeah, and
Okay.
I have a site that I'm returning to called DevorahMajor.com, but I'm
Okay.
on YouTube and they can look my name up and find me. I've got another book coming out next year from City Lights,
Okay.
and so always writing short stories, essays, poetry.
Do
I'm
you do
easy to find.
performances? Do you do performances where we can hear you, or?
I do performances. I've been performing all year, but at this point, I don't know if I'll have any more in December. The only performance I have booked is until February in Livermore.
In Livermore. Okay. Well, there you have it. But then we can go to your site and find
But
out
you could
where.
go to my site and see stuff now, and like I say, YouTube has a video on me, and so it's around, but I don't have any upcoming performances right now.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out this afternoon, sharing some thoughts and insights, and blessed to the ancestors and to this particular ancestor who touched so many. So, DeVore Major, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.